Grab my glass, John, while you're down there, please. And I'll just switch it up.
John, did you get a hotel for family weekend?
What's that?
Did you get a hotel for family weekend?
I think we're good.
Thank you. Oops.
You stayed in what? I really like the courtyard.
Over by Tony Rollins?
By Veterans Highway? At CBS? It's where we stayed this weekend, but they lost.
Hey there, Danny.
In G53?
Yeah. I mean, I can't see it.
I had to go on StubHub to get a spot there for family weekends.
$10 or $15? Well, you had to go on StubHub or try to get
30 bucks?
Anything yet?
No, maybe, yeah.
Joe! I'll save my questions for after committee. I got a couple of questions for you. Unless you want here. I can give them to you. Can
Chief, did we miss something?
No, we're going to be there's a fire video on the rescue task force.
Okay. Good, yourself?
Yes.
Do we ask? Are we asking?
Oh, for what? Mia?
I mean, yeah, not Mia.
No. No, not yet. Nothing yet.
And what's the date?
26th. So we got a little time left.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Why am I not doing this right?
Do you want to wait for Mike or start with Adam?
No, let's go. This is going to be a quickie.
All right, okay.
Dan, I've got one item.
I two.
And the chief has three, so we thought like
one.
One, two, three.
He's in his best. I can. Oh.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
Well, we're gonna do finance last, just because of Mike. You can blame Mike then.
Oh, because it's his committee. Yeah, it's fair. All right. So we start with Parks and Rec.
Okay, let's do it.
Ready?
Yep. Yes.
Dan, you ready?
Oh, this is, yeah, one, two, three.
Trustee Guerra?
Here.
Trustee Calandrello?
Here.
Trustee Carroll? Parks and Rec, approval of minutes.
Looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve extending the contract with Melrose Pyrotechnics, Inc. of Kingsbury, Indiana for pyrotechnical services on July.
We're doing minutes first.
Oh, sorry. What am I thinking? Okay, so moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Melrose Pyrotechnics contract renewal.
Looking for a motion?
Okay, now. I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve extending the contract with Melrose Pyrotechnics Incorporated of Kingsbury, Indiana for pyrotechnical services on July 4, 2019 and 2020 for the Independence Day Spectacular at a total cost of $25,000 per year.
And I think this goes without explanation. We're just extending the contract. Oh, second.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
What did we pay this year?
I don't have the contract with me. I believe it was $25,000, and we had, for the three-year contract, each year the time increased with Melrose. So this was our longest-running firework display. It was the third year of the contract with the option to renew, but I believe it was $25,000. I'd have to
double
check.
You think it was staying consistent,
yeah,
the price?
Yeah, it's
what
been
I'm
consistent.
Only
yeah,
for.
It's been consistent.
They do a great job, and it's good that we're keeping them. So, any other questions? Questions from the audience? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public safety approval minutes?
At this, Madam Chair?
Trustee Calandrello?
I move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Public Safety Committee of August the 6th, 2018.
Second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Disposal of village property.
Madam Chairman, this is a request to destroy 26 tasers and related holsters and church holders.
Yeah, fine. I would take all. I think I'm fine right now. Give me a second.
We have replaced them with the X2, which is a more sophisticated taser. It's software that better tracks the use of the taser, so they're out of date.
Any questions from the audience, from the committee? Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Calandrello.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to pass an ordinance entitled ordinance authorizing disposal of unusable municipal property as scrap tasers.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ordinance amending Title 8, Chapter 6 of the Orland Park Village Code.
Madam Chair, this is to our ordinance, unlawful presence in schools. From time to time, whether it's by prank or other reason, unauthorized students will show up in the school, particularly in high school. I think we had one event last year. We were charging them with disorderly conduct, which is okay, but this is a more precise charge for them. We can charge them with criminal trespass, but in some cases, in all cases, that would give them a criminal record. And in many cases, no past record, no prior incidents, ordinance violation is a better way. It's supported both by District 230 and District 135.
Is this sometimes just students that have graduated out, they come back to visit, unauthorized though it may be?
That and friends from time to time that they might be from another school and they're off and they'll walk into school, but the students wouldn't have any harm come from it other than it certainly disrupts school when it happens, and it's a precedent we don't want to allow to happen without addressing it.
Okay, any questions? Chair needs a motion.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Calandrello.
I move to recommend to the village board pass an ordinance entitled an ordinance amending Title 8, Chapter 6 of the Illinois Village Code regarding unauthorized presence in schools.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ordinance amending Title 8, Chapter 2 of the Village Code to authorize a $50 administrative booking fee for prisoners.
This is a request to attempt to defray the costs of the bookings of prisoners. Last year, we had 1,762 arrestees that went through the lockup. Average time of lockup was 10 hours and 4 minutes. That's when people bond out almost immediately to those that might stay 2 or 3 days until if there's a holiday. This helps to defray the cost of our detention aids. It has started in the Western Suburbs. It's already been in the Seventh Circuit held. So it's constitutional to fee those that are not. So in cases where they refuse to pay, we send them a bill. But it helps to defray the cost. Our budget for the detention aids is about $155,000 a year, which is a great investment to make sure we have security and safety in the lockup. But it's a fee that will pay some of the cost for it, too.
Okay. Any questions in the audience? Committee chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, just a quick question. Forget about it. I figured it out. Madam Chair?
Trustee Gamble.
I move to recommend to the village board pass ordinance entitled an ordinance amending Title 8 by adding a new Chapter 2 to the Orland Park Village Code regarding an administrative booking fee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Finance Committee approval minutes.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gere.
I move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Finance Committee of August 6, 2018.
Second.
Any questions or comments or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Acceptance of the fiscal year 2017 comprehensive annual financial report.
Trustee Carroll. So Illinois Municipal Code requires that our financial statement auditor on an annual basis present the results of our audit to the village board at a public hearing. Jason Coyle, who is our engagement partner from Baker Tilly, is here to present the results of the audit for you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you. I'll just talk briefly about your audit in the management letter, but if you have any questions, feel free to ask. You do continue to issue what's known as a CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. You're to be congratulated on doing that. There's a lot more information in there than actually is required if in a standard financial statements for a municipality, but it gives greater transparency of your operations to whoever the users might be, whether it be bondholders, yourselves, or people in the community. We appreciate the help of the finance department this year, as in every year we come in and they provide a lot of information for us and everything was in good order. And you also, as you have in the past, actually prepare the very lengthy CAFR. Very few municipalities have the ability and capacity to be able to do that. So I want to continue to congratulate you on doing that and on your staff for being able to pull that big effort together at the end of the year. Probably the most important thing in the very lengthy document, in my opinion, are the three pages which are the opinion of my firm. The opinion continues to be what we call a clean opinion or an unmodified opinion, similar to what was in the last year's. It's the highest level of assurance we can give. And in layman's terms, what it means is when somebody comes to look at these financial statements, they can rely on them in all material respects to evaluate the health of the village. I would encourage you, I know not everyone likes to open and read through 250 pages worth of annual financial statements, but there is a section near the beginning called MD&A, which stands for Management's Discussion Analysis. If you crack it open for nothing else, I'd encourage you to read that section. As the name implies, management wrote it, but it does provide a nice snapshot of what happened during the year with some summary tables in there. I think one of the more notable points that I'm sure you're familiar with that's noted in there is the $97.50 on development. You paid off that note during the year and received about $14.5 million, I think, in revenue that came into the TIF fund during the year, so obviously a rather substantial transaction that is notable during the year. I know another thing that's often A point that comes up in when I present is pension funds. Everyone wants to know how are our pension funds doing. You know, state of Illinois and city of Chicago and things like that don't do such a great job of funding pensions. Well, the good news is with your police pension fund, the investment rates over the last several years have continued to increase, so that's great. You're now at 73.5% funded. So love to see those investment rates continue to go up, and we'll just keep hoping the stock market continues to go in such a trend. Just the last point in your financial statements I always like to look at, I like to look at your enterprise funds, which are the funds that are meant to be self-supporting through charges for services. Your biggest one is your water sewer fund. I always like to see, are you making money in that fund or at least breaking even, meaning that your charges for services are keeping up with your costs. Indeed, you had an operating income during the year. So at least at current, you know, without consideration for infrastructure and other things that might need to be done, your charges for services are appropriate there. The other document we issue is what we collectively call or commonly call the management letter. It's kind of just any recommendations we might have improvements in your internal controls, because we do come in and we kick the tires on your internal controls as we evaluate the audit. Had two minor things in there, one related to journal entries, which we've seen in the past, and one related to one of the not-for-profits that you have. We made a little adjustment during the year. We expect that to not repeat in subsequent years. So the rest of the information in that management letter is standard communication. All good stuff in the sense that we didn't have any conflict with management or anything like that. The only other thing I'd note is that next year there's going to be a new standard coming into effect related to OPEB, other post-employment benefits. So that's going to create a new liability on the financial statements. Although the liability has existed in the past, it's now just being placed on your financial statements. It's not a new liability to the village. So something you'll be seeing new next year. And I'm sure you're already...
That's actually the next item on the agenda.
Hey, there we go. So what a lead-in for that.
You can stay and listen.
There we go. Okay. Well, with that, that's all the comments I had, unless you had any questions.
I do have one question.
Sure.
It might be a little self-serving, but I'd like to make it part of the record. Other than the transparency issue, which we're very proud of, the transparency awards that we've gotten over the years, what is the benefit of having such a large CAFR for municipality, since it appears to be fairly unusual how detailed ours is? If you could just speak to that a little bit, and that's either for either one of you or both of you.
Well, municipal financial statements in general are lengthy and have a lot of detail just because you have so many funds and there's all the budget to actual information there. So even if you didn't have a CAFR, it would still be rather lengthy. You know, to me, the benefit of a CAFR is the statistical section in the back, which provides 10 years worth of historical data, which is just great when you're looking at historical trends. How are things doing? What's going on in the community? Are we seeing sales tax go up? Are we seeing sales tax come down? Where's our debt going? Is it, you know, it's a wealth of information that obviously could be pulled together outside of this, but you know, it's readily available once a year for people to look at. I'll let you speak to anybody.
Yeah, and also the reason the CAFR is so large is in order to get the award from GFOA for our CAFR, there's certain information that's required to be in there. Yep. And that also adds a significant amount of information to the document. But if we didn't do that, then we wouldn't have gotten the award for the last 30 years.
And I'm saying this as Ann knows, we're in the early stages of our budget process again for this year, or somewhat through it. Does the GFOA award provide us any other benefit as far as our financial stability awards, ratings, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, it is something that bond rating agencies definitely look at because it is so comprehensive, does cover your complete financial situation, provides a lot of statistical data. So it is looked at favorably by many outside agencies.
Okay. Any other questions or comments to the committee? Trustee Gere?
Only because of our competitive nature. What would you say in other communities in the state of Illinois? What are the percentage maybe that get these awards from GFOA?
Oh, they prepare a CAFR and get an award? Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. More than 50% of our municipalities, though, I would say issue a CAFR. You don't have to submit to GFOA. You could still issue a CAFR without submitting to GFOA for the award, although I don't think I have any municipalities that do that. If you go through the effort of preparing the CAFR and having all that information in there, you know, everybody submits to make sure that it's in compliance with the GFOA standards.
Okay, yeah. So not everybody has a CAFR, so therefore not everybody is even
yes, if you don't have a CAFR, you cannot submit it to GFOA for the CAFR award, obviously.
And I think one of the biggest things is, although there's a lot of municipalities that do submit and do get the award, you can go on the GFOA website and read through all the municipalities and school districts that get the award. But the big thing is that we internally prepare that entire document, and that's really rare. Most municipalities pay an additional fee to their auditors to do that. Sarah and I used to do audits, so we were very familiar with it, so we prepare the whole thing in-house. The auditors have to review it, they review every page of it, provide some really good comments and corrections every single year, but we do put it all together, and that is unique.
Yeah, agreed.
I knew we were special.
A little bit more of a check and balance there than as opposed to if the auditor did the whole thing.
The amount, you mean?
I'm saying if you prepare the CAFR and it's reviewed by somebody else, there's a second person looking over the work as opposed to them preparing it themselves.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fee difference, absolutely, but even if the auditors did prepare it, they would give it to us for review.
Right.
But ours, doing it the opposite way, our review would not be nearly as technical as theirs is, because that's what they're trained for and hired for, is to review that.
I always appreciate when clients prepare their own financial statements, even though it's relatively rare, because at the end of the day, they are your financial statements, and we just come in and audit them. So you have the most, obviously, knowledge of your financial operations and how you want to present things so that they're, accurately presented.
Yeah, and it really helps us stay up on the standards and understand the standards that are out there. There's so many of them that are consistently coming out or being changed that if you don't do that preparation, you don't really learn them in detail. So I think that's another benefit that we have.
Agreed.
Any other questions from the committee? I've never done this, but since he's the only non-staff person in here, Mr. DePaulis, any questions? All right, thank you for your report.
All right, thank you very much. Good to be with
thanks,
you.
Thanks,
Chair. We'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Calandrillo.
I move to recommend a village board to approve accepting the financial year 2017 comprehensive annual financial report.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
OPEB. Trust fund agreement and investment policies?
Yeah.
Okay, so as Jason just mentioned, GASB 75 is going into effect, and that will require us to put the full liability of our OPEB on our books. And OPEB stands for other post-employment benefits other than pensions. So it's the health insurance benefits and the HRA benefits that our retirees are entitled to at this time that we have to set aside funds for. So historically, we've only had to put the current year's cost that we didn't fund on our books. Now we have to put that full liability. So one of the recommendations of GASB is that you create a trust fund, and you actually fund this trust fund on an annual basis so that you have some assets you can put on the books that offset that liability and don't have a detrimental effect on your net assets. So we had brought this through committee and board previously. The board did approve the establishment of the trust. So now tonight we have the documents on the agenda for you guys to approve that are necessary in order to actually enact the trust and get it going.
So just as Ann said, we had already approved the establishment of the trust. This is for the documents. Any questions or comments from the committee? Trustee Guerra.
Just one, like our retirement fund, pension funds, can this money be invested as well?
Yes, and it'll be invested just like our police pension fund is. As part of the trust agreement, we've hired a trustee who will hold the funds and do those investments for us.
Okay. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? No. Look like you've got one in your mind there, Trustee Calandrillo.
No, I just want to know all these acronyms. I mean, I think we had like 25 acronyms today.
Well, I could say municipal government's a close second to education when it comes to acronyms.
Read the CAFR, there's probably about 3,000 acronyms in there.
Oh, yeah. I was going to have them repeat all of them, but I was like,
my first few months as chair, my eyes glazed over with all the acronyms. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Guerra.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the Village of Orland Park Retiree Health Insurance Trust Agreement and the Village of Orland Park OPEB Trust Fund Statement of Investment Policies and Objectives.
Second.
Any OPEB questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. It's the shortest we've had in a while.
Well, that's why I asked. That's the Mr. Polzer. Any questions? We had a little time to kill. We got 35 minutes. No? You're not feeling it? All right.
Sure. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Chigang, I don't want to just be.